Well, good morning and welcome to Calvary Baptist Church. We're certainly glad that you're worshiping with us today. And let's go ahead and start off with a song. Let's start off with number 22, Oh Magnify the Lord. Number 22. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the wonderful blessings that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful that we can be here today and that we can worship you together. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity and the vehicle that allows it to happen. Lord, we look forward to that day when we can all be back together again. We pray that will be soon. We ask you to touch our bodies, heal us, and deliver us from all of these illnesses. And so we ask for thy blessing. But then, Father, we pray for the service today. Encourage our hearts through thy precious word and through the singing and praise of your name. And we ask all in Jesus' name. Amen. We want to welcome everyone out for the services today. It is certainly a joy to be here and to be able to worship the Lord with you. And so we thank you for coming out today and we appreciate you being with us. Of course, we don't have a lot of announcements as we normally do because we are not doing a lot of things. With all the social distancing, you know, you're not allowed to meet and have all these fellowships and things that we normally do. So a lot of those things have been postponed for a while. But keep praying for one another, keep looking after one another, keep calling and visiting as best you are able virtually to visit and help out one another. It is a blessing to those who are by themselves, especially some of the ones who are home alone. They don't have anybody living with them, and so it is a blessing to them if they get a phone call. So encourage one another in these ways. Remember, also, we have our evening service tonight, and that is at 6 o'clock, and so we encourage you to come back out for that. Also, just to let you know, we are planning on keep doing these video things even once we get back to church, and we're looking at getting a fancy camera that will allow us to do that and all of those things, and the men are working on that, and I thank them for all the hard work they're putting in to making all of this possible. It is a great blessing that they're able to do that, and so we thank the Lord for that. Also, remember about your offerings. People have been sending them in, and I thank you for that. We pray you'll continue to do that, continue to mail in your offering or to send it through the website there. You can see the link down there on the Facebook page. If you scroll down some to the post, you'll see the link there for the tithing, and you have to click on the one that says for the church, and then the offering will go to where the church, to the church. And you can put in the note that is down below that. You can write down what you want it to go to if you want to do that. All right, so remember all of those things. And also, I should mention, we are at 407 Marley Station Road, Glen Burnie, Maryland. And so once we do get back to services, we want everybody to come out and fellowship together. And we look forward to that opportunity that folks can be out and worshiping with us. All right, at this time, we're going to sing another hymn.
All right, let's go ahead and sing another song. Now let's turn to number 375, Oh To Be Like Thee, 375. Singing. Now this time we're going to have our scripture verse for the month. Scripture verse for the month. And we've been working on 1 John. And we're on 1 John and chapter 2 and verse 8. So we'll go ahead and quote that verse two times now. 1 John 2:8. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. Again, 1 John 2:8. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. Now this time we'll have Pastor come forward with the morning scripture reading.
All right, our morning scripture reading will come from the book of Philippians, and we're today we'll be in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and beginning here at verse number 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the blessings that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ, for the wonderful salvation that is ours. We bring to our God praise and honor and dominion and power both now and evermore, for you are truly worthy. We exalt and magnify the name of our Father who has done all things well. And we look forward to that day when we shall be together, and we shall be with you forever, with you in heaven. What a blessing that shall be. And so, Lord, we pray that Jesus might even come today. But until then, Lord, help us to be busy doing the work that you've called us to do, going into this world and reaching this world for Christ. And Lord, let us use every method that we have, through the letter, through the phone, through the internet, through contact with people. Lord, in every way, may we get the gospel out to a world that is in need. And truly, Lord, it is a needy world. We see, Father, how that so many are afraid today and full of fear because there is the chance of losing their life. And yet, Lord, there is always the chance of death. Death always resides with us. The cemeteries are always open, and the funeral homes are always working. And we know, Father, that there is an appointed unto man a day on which we will die. And Father, we need to be ready for that day. And we pray that we may carry to a world in need the blessed message that there is hope in Jesus Christ, that we can be born again, that we can have new spiritual life, that we can live forever with God, that we can have an eternity of life, that we need not fear death, for this death that we are facing is just for a moment. It is but a twinkling, it is but a short little time in which we will go to sleep, as it were, and then wake in thy presence. What a blessing that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we give you praise, and we give you honor, and we give you glory, and we uplift the name of our God. We ask you, dear Father, to encourage us and strengthen us. Lord, for those of our church who are weary, and Lord, they're lonely, and they're facing the difficulty of not having the opportunity of fellowship, and I know that's affecting many folks. We pray that, Father, you bring comfort to our hearts and encourage us. And Lord, help us to reach out and be patient and kind and good to one another, and to show the love of Christ to our family in the church. We ask you, dear Father, that you would bless and meet the needs. And Lord, for any that are sick with other diseases and things like that, we do pray that you'll continue to help us to get over all those illnesses and sicknesses that may be upon us. I know it is allergy season, and some are suffering with those things. And so, Lord, we pray that you would just encourage and strengthen us and help us in all of these things. We pray for the various ministries, Lord. May you keep us going and keep us working for you. May the work of the Lord go forward. We ask for our missionaries. May you bless them there as they labor on the foreign fields, and many of them are facing similar problems. We pray that you enable them and help them in the work that they're doing. We ask you, Lord, for those of thy people under persecution. May you comfort them and encourage them and help them through these times of difficulty. Lord, we pray for our nation. We pray for our leaders. Give them wisdom. May they do the right thing in these times of difficulty. May they make good decisions that are wise and proper. We pray for our military, Lord, that keeps us safe. May you watch over them and protect them and keep them. We pray for our police, our firemen, our ambulance workers, our doctors, our nurses. We're thankful for all the labor that they do. And we pray that you will help them in their work as they labor to keep us safe and healthy. And Father, may you protect and keep them as well, too. We ask you, dear Father, for your blessing to be upon our nation. And most importantly, Lord, we pray that you might turn the hearts of our people back to their God. And so we ask for thy blessing upon these things. And Father, we pray that you will forgive us of our trespasses. We know that, Lord, we sin. We know that we do not live godly as we ought. We know that we are not the example of Christ that we ought to be. So often, Lord, our hearts are full of fear. We allow covetousness to enter into our lives. We are self-focused rather than focused upon others, as we read in the passage. And so, Father, we pray that you'll forgive us of these sins. Help us, Lord, to be a godly example, and we ask, Lord, your blessing upon these things. And Lord, we pray now that you will encourage us, strengthen us, and help us. And we ask all this now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. At this time, we'll have Brother Robbie come and lead us in a final song for the day.
All right, well, let's turn to number 118 now. 118. Certainly God can direct us and help us, and he does know the way. So that's the song we're going to sing, number 118, He Knoweth the Way.
Oh Lord, thou art my King, and who am I to question?
Singing that this morning, and now at this time we're going to have a quartet sing our special at this time.
Deep down in my heart.
thank our quartet for singing, and that's the first time they've been together, and so we thank them for the good work they do. I feel kind of funny thanking the quartet because I'm in the quartet, but anyway, thank the Lord that we were able to sing and praise the Lord to his glory. So we thank the Lord for that. All right, let's take our Bibles now and we will go over to the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter number 2, and we are going to be looking at verses 1 to 4. It is a beautiful passage and I'm excited about it here today. You know, one of the sayings that's coming out of this pandemic is that we are in this together. You know, unity is an important thing. People need unity. People need other people. They need to have a sense of belonging. They need to go together. Or there's serious problems. I remember in school taking some kind of psychology class, and I had to watch this tape, I guess it's a famous tape, in which these little monkeys were all separated, you know, and from various situations. One was like left with their parents, and you know, that little monkey grew up all just wonderful and fine, and then there was some monkeys that were, I forget all the exact things, but I remember the last situation was the one little monkey was just given a stuffed bear by itself, and it lived there with the stuffed bear. Well, that monkey absolutely went crazy. It had no sanity. It was just insane. Why? Because it was left alone. It didn't have any connection. It didn't have any sense of belonging. It didn't have any fitting in. It wasn't part of the family. And so it could not function. People need to belong. We need to function and we need to be a part of something. And for the Christian, we belong to the family of God. We've been adopted into God's family. We are part of that family and we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Christ, we are one. And there is a unit organically within the body of Christ. We are all physically connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are part and parcel of Him. And so we must make sure that we are maintaining a psychological unity, or maybe even better, a spiritual unity, a soul unity, so that God is, we are truly functioning as a part of God's people, that we are truly connected to Him, that we are truly one with Him. As God's people, we need to be unified. Now, the apostle here lays out certain qualities which enable unity. These qualities, as we read in verse 1, it says, if, and if, and if, and if, four ifs. These are not, as we might see in English, possibilities. These are, in the Greek language, certainties. We might translate this better. Since there is consolation in Christ, and since there is comfort of love, and since there is fellowship of the Spirit, and since there are bowels and mercies, because of that, this is a certainty. This is the what he is talking about. And so let's look at these qualities that enable. First is the encouragement that comes from being connected to Christ. The word that he uses here is the word for the paraclete, one who is called alongside to give us help, to it's often translated as comfort or consolation or sometimes even exhortation, sometimes encouragement. In 2 Timothy, in chapter number 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2 there, and verse number 16 and 17, it says, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more, increase again unto ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. Now, I don't know what exactly happened on that verse, but that was not the verse I wanted. And when I looked it up in my study, I must have wrote it down wrong. So I'm wondering if it was 1 Timothy chapter 2, but no, there's no 1 Timothy 2, 16, 17. So I don't know what I've done, but I've written down the wrong verse. But it talks about the fact in the verse that I want, it uses that word that it says that there is a comfort, that there is an exhortation that is there. And then in John chapter 14, the Lord Jesus tells us that he is going to send not the verb form, but the noun form, which is what I'm looking at here in 14 and verse 16. It says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. And that's that same word, a paraclete, one called alongside to help us. And that's what we have. We have Christ alongside us to help us. So we as God's people can be unified. Why can we be unified? Because we have Christ walking right along with us. So the next time you're having a hard time being unified with somebody, remember Christ is right there with you. Christ is right there to help you. And just like Christ is walking along with you, Christ is walking along with that other person. And Christ can help us to get along one with another. We also know that we can get along because we have comfort from Christ's love. The consolation, the word that he uses here has the idea that it is a consolation that draws the mind away from care, as one writer put it. It is a consolation that comes, and it is a consolation so deep that it draws the mind away. The love of Christ is, it takes away the remembrances of the sorrows of the past. In other words, when we are, you know, before we were saved, there were many bad things that happened, many difficulties, many problems that occur in the life. But because of the love of Christ, it pulls our mind away from those things. It removes all of those thoughts. It fills us with love. It reminds us that those things are gone. We need not remember that. I suppose the best illustration of that kind of thing for us today is the fact that if you have a, you fall in love, you know, when you're young and you have all those kind of problems and you're falling in love and you have all those difficulties, well, then in those situations where you fall in love, you know, and you have problems and you split up and you're all, your heart's broken and all that, and then you fall in love with the one that you end up marrying, and you know what? After that, all those troubles go away. All those problems are taken from us. All those difficulties are removed from us. And we forget about the problems that we had with all those other kinds of relationships. And this is the illustration that I think illustrates this point. That in Christ, because of the comfort that we have in Him, all those other things go away from us. They are all removed. But then there is also the sharing of the Holy Spirit. Now, there are several ways of looking at this section here. The word for sharing is the word for koinonia, the fellowship that we often have of the Holy Spirit. We have fellowship with Him. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number 19, 1 Corinthians 6:19, it says, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost?" So we know that the Holy Ghost dwells within us. And the Holy Spirit who lives within us produces within us the qualities that we have. This sharing we have a fellowship with the Spirit of God, but also sharing in the common life that is produced by the Spirit. So not only do we have sharing with the Holy Spirit, but we have a sharing with the common life that the Holy Spirit produces within the lives of other people. And then there is one other thing. We can share because He produces within us that spirit of fellowship. In other words, He changes us so that we actually want to fellowship with other believers. There is that connection. And I'm sure you, like I, have had the experience of being on vacation and you walk into some church that you've never been in before in your life, and all of a sudden you recognize the people of God and you just sense the presence of the Lord. You know that these are God's people. You know that this is the work of God in their lives. And this is the blessing that we have in Christ. We can go to any church where the gospel is preached and the people stand upon the fundamentals of the scripture and know that we are at home. We are a part of the body of Christ. What a blessing that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have encouragement from being united with Christ. We have comfort from having His love, a comfort so deep that it removes from us all of the old problems. We have a sharing in the Holy Spirit of God. And we also have tenderness and compassion. Now, that first word there is translated in the King James bowels, and the reason is because the Greek word that is used refers to your bowels. In biology, they still use that same term to refer to those organs down there. And so it is that term term is the idea, and so it's the bowels. Now, to the Greek mind, your emotions came out of your bowels, out of your stomach, out of the middle of you. We think of the, you know, emotions coming out of our heart. Well, they thought of them coming out of their, you know, their middle, out of the, you know, the butterflies in your stomach, those kind of things. And so that's how they thought of that. And so they're talking about if there's any tenderness, if there's any compassion. You see, the Holy Spirit who dwells within our heart is producing within us certain qualities: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, and temperance. These he is producing within us. And as a part of those things, there is this concept of tenderness and of compassion. There is a concern and a love for others in the family of God. Tenderness and compassion make the unity that we have within the church to be a normal thing. It is normal. Because you have that in your heart, this tenderness and compassion, you want to get along with one another. And so there is these qualities that enable unity. But then secondly, there's also the benefit that accrues because of unity. In verse 2a, he says, "Fulfill ye my joy." Here is a benefit that came to the Apostle Paul. He was being made joyful by the fact that those Christians were doing the right thing. And you know, when we do the right thing, and when we get along with others, and when we fellowship with others, we are causing their joy to be complete. We are building love and compassion and care in their heart as well. Paul had joy because of his association with them. In verses 3 and 4 of chapter 1, it says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy." And in chapter 4 and verse number 10, he says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, how that now at your last your care of me has flourished again." And so in both places, you see the joy of the Lord that he had from just simply knowing them. But you know, when there's unity, then that even completes the joy, and it makes the joy greater. We can make other people happy by being unified, by getting along one with another, by not battling and not fighting and not having these things going on in our heart. And then we see some commands that are given here. Now, I realize that technically, grammatically, these are not commands, but they do carry the force of a command. And these are the commanded keys that are given to us of unity. He tells us here that we are to be like-minded. Literally, one writer says it means to mind the same thing. We are to focus our mind upon the same thing. We have the same focus. We are looking at the same matter. And what is the matter that we're looking at? We're looking at the Lord Jesus Christ. We're looking at God our Father. We're looking at His Word. We have a desire to serve the Lord, to love the Lord, to keep His commandments, as our memory verse said. We are working to love Christ, and our heart and mind is focused on Him. And thus, this is not a unity that exists above truth. In other words, you cannot be unified with people that don't believe the same thing, with people who don't hold to the truth of the Word of God. Now, it's true that Christians don't agree on the interpretation of every little tiny thing in the Scripture. And that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about that you have to agree on every little tiny thing and understand every little issue in the same way. For instance, I feel like my hair is getting way too long. It's getting that way because I haven't been to the barbershop in, 6 weeks. And why? Because they closed the barbershop and I can't get down there to the barbershop. Now, I've been doing what I can with my little razor thing there, you know, and trying to stare at myself in the mirror and make some adjustments, but obviously I'm not doing a great job. I feel like my hair is getting too long. I'm not looking good. I need to get that cut. I need to get it trimmed up. Now, other Christians might look at that and say, "Well, there's not a thing wrong with your hair. Your hair's not too long. your hair's just fine. You need to, you know, the, well, I understand that. So there can be differences in interpretation and differences in application on certain things. You know, the scripture says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. Well, what does that mean? Well, long, you know, so what's long to one guy might be, you know, short to the next guy. And so some people might look at my hair and say, oh, yours is way short. You don't need to worry. Others might look at it and say, well, that's way long. You know, you need to get that trimmed up. If you were in the Marine Corps there in something like that down at boot camp, you know, if your hair gets to be a 16th of an inch long, they're saying, oh, you need a haircut. Get that thing trimmed up. But for people like me, hey, it's not that big of a deal. So there can be differences of opinion regarding certain interpretations, but there's some things that we have to agree on. We have to agree. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so when you have preachers who stand in pulpits and tell you that you don't, it doesn't matter what you believe, you can go to heaven just any old way you want, as long as you're just trusting God somehow, it's all going to be good, just be a nice person and you'll, no, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible tells us that we must repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we do, we will be saved. And so it is absolutely essential that our unity be based upon the foundational truths of the Bible. We can disagree over minor interpretations and what this word refers to or what that word means and, you know, those kind of things. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the foundations, that the Bible is the Word of God, that God created the heavens and the earth, that God did this in seven literal days, that God is the one who has provided salvation, that it is God who sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us, and that Christ died and that he was buried and that he rose again, and those who believe on him are going to be saved, that this same Jesus that we saw go up is going to come again. Yes, these are the fundamental facts of the Bible that we need to believe. And so the Bible tells us we ought to be like-minded. As the people of God, we ought to understand that we have a mission. And that mission is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We have a mission. The mission is not to have everybody pat us on the back and tell us what a wonderful job we're doing. The mission is to get people to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to give them the message of salvation so that they can believe. This is our job. And so we're to be like-minded. We're to have the same love. Now, love is a fruit of the Spirit, and the Spirit is going to develop that within us. But the object of our affection ought to be a relationship with God, which is expressed how? Oh, that feeling, right? No, that's not how that love is expressed. That love is expressed in obedience to his command and in communion with his people. He told us, if you love me, keep my commandments. How do we know that we love God? We know that we love him when we keep his commandments. When we obey what God tells us to do, then we know that we truly love him. So if you can't love somebody in the church, if there's somebody in your church that you can't get along with, if there's somebody that you just can't be unified with, then the problem is you have chosen to disobey the command of God. And as a result, you're going to have problems the rest of your life. You need to get that sin forgiven. You need to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I've sinned. I've done wrong. Please forgive me. Change my heart. The problem is not the other person. You say, well, the other guy, he sinned against me. And so I just can't be unified because he's done wrong. And I just have to have that fixed before. Well, you know what? The Lord loved you even while you were yet a sinner. And he was willing to die for you even while you were yet a sinner. If the Lord could love you, can't you love them? We need to love one another, and we need to have that same love. We need to express it in obedience. We need to be one in spirit. We need to have a similar psychology, is would be kind of a way we could translate this word. But it is the idea that we are one with a new spiritual life that we have. We are one in spirit. We have one spiritual life, and we are one in that spirit. We ought to be getting along with one another, and there ought to be unity in the Spirit of God. And we have one spirit, one heart, one desire. Our desire is to love Christ. Our desire is to serve the Lord. Our desire is to be with Jesus. Our desire is to be with the people of God. We are one of spirit, and we are one of mind. Just as you are happiest when your body and mind are working together, so we are happiest when we as Christians are working together with the Spirit of God and with the Lord Jesus Christ, our head. When we are listening to Christ and obeying Christ and doing what Christ wants us to do, then we are the happiest. We are a part of His body. Now, sometimes you get sick and you have problems. And when you do, your body is not doing what your brain's telling you to do. Your brain may be saying, let's get up and do some things. Let's go to work. Let's have some fun. Let's go out and eat. Let's do some stuff. And your body's saying, no, lay here. I'm sick. And so there's a difficulty that is there. We need to be of one mind. As Christians, we are happiest when we are of one mind with the Lord. The Lord wants us to love one another, to be united with one another, to be focused on the same work and same ambitions. This is what ought to be happening. But in this passage, he also lays out some hindrances to unity. Just as there are qualities that enable unity, and there are commanded keys to unity, and there's benefits that come to us from unity, so there are some hindrances. And the first hindrance is found really in what he says in verses 1 and 2, in taken in the sense that he needs to say it. The fact that he needs to say it says that there are some who are not doing it. And thus, the hindrance to unity is simply some people just don't want to be unified. Some people just don't want to be connected to Christ. Some people just don't want to receive the blessing of the Lord. They've just chosen in their spirit to be bitter and mean-spirited and hateful. They have just chosen to do wrong. They have chosen not to be unified. Maybe that choice is not so dramatic as what I described. Maybe that choice is just, I've been in churches and I've been hurt and I've had problems, and so I'm just going to be afraid and standoffish, and I'm just not going to open my heart to them, and I'm just not going to be unified. And I understand that. I can understand how someone might feel that way. And yet, it's wrong. It's still sin. We have to open up our heart. Yes, that opens you up to hurt. Yes, it does. But we have to put the unity of the body of Christ above ourself. And that's what he adds when he says here, selfish ambition and vain glory. He tells us here that let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. Here, these concepts are in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 20, lists selfish ambition, this strife, as being one of the works of the flesh. So if we are going to serve the Lord in the works of the flesh, well, yes, we're going to have problems. We can't walk in the flesh. We need to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Selfish ambition, it's all about me. Everybody in the church is not focused on me. Everybody in the church is not coming down and saying hi to me. And somebody in the church didn't look at me right. And somebody in the church didn't smile when I walked by just perfectly. And, you know, I could look in their mind and I could tell that they were thinking bad things about me. Wasn't it wonderful that we have people in our church who have the great wisdom to be able to see what is in someone else's mind and actually know what is there without them actually telling us what is in their mind? It's wonderful that we have people who are omniscient. Now, of course, that's a lie. We don't have people who are omniscient. And you don't know what somebody is thinking. Maybe they did frown at you, but how do you know why they frowned? Maybe they just had a twinge in their foot. You know, Arthur just whacked them in the knee, and so there was a terrible pain in their leg, and so they scoured because of a pain in their leg, not because you happened to walk by. We don't know what is in people's minds and in people's hearts. And so we have to be very careful about that. Selfish ambition, it's all about us. Let us get ahead. Let me get ahead. And vain conceit, the word is literally, as one writer says, empty glory. It's just looking for things that don't matter. These are hindrances to unity. And he goes on and talks then about a value system that leads to unity. He says, the value system there is but in lowliness of mind. We might translate that as humility. Humility is a wonderful quality. It is the attitude. It is a Christian attitude. And yet it is an attitude that the Greeks rejected, that they hated, that they thought was useless and worthless. It was an attitude that is still to this day found by many to be a wicked and vile attitude. They think that being lowly is bad, that putting yourself down and exalting others is wrong, that you ought to get yourself and promote yourself and build yourself up, and that's the thinking of our world. But that is not the Christian value. We are to be lowly of mind and humble. Humble, humility is the right attitude. And he goes and says, look not every man. He says, but in lowliness of mind, esteem others better than yourselves. In other words, we are to value other people above ourselves. The bad attitude is me first, self first. Self is what matters. The correct attitude is we're to put others above self. Now, this is not a command that is asking you to neglect yourself. That's not what it's saying. But it is saying what it says in other places. It is saying that we are to care for others just like you care for yourself. In other words, as Christians, we are to live with a heart that is open wide to others. And you say, well, that might not work out well. I might be rejected. I might be hurt. Yes, you might. You might suffer. You might have to face rejection. You might have to face some problems because you open up your heart to others and they use that against you and they act vilely and wickedly. And you say, but Christians shouldn't act that way. And you're right, they should not. That doesn't mean that we don't sin. We do. We ought to confess our sins and forsake our sins. But Christians are going to do wrong. So does that mean if Christians are going to do wrong that I should not allow them? That I should somehow just keep myself under and hold my spirit down and don't allow myself to be unified and don't open up my heart to others and don't care about others? That way I'm kept safe from being harmed? No. The scriptures tell us we are to value others above yourself. Open yourself up to these kinds of hurts and to these kinds of neglects. Our Savior did. He loved his disciples and he opened himself up to them, and yet he was rejected and despised of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Yes, we like to put that on to sinners, but you know what? We can say those words ourselves. How often have we not esteemed him? How often have we despised what he wanted? And yet he has opened up his heart to us. We must open up our heart to others. We have to value others above our own interests. The bad value is me first, my interests first. Let me take care of my things first. And then if I've got any time and I'm not too tired, I'll come over and help you. No, it is that we're to put others first, that we're to value their interest first. And if we do that, God will bless. You say, but I'll be, taken advantage of. People just, you know, use me as a doormat and walk all over me. That assumes they're not going to live by the Spirit of God. That God is not able to do exceedingly abundantly above what you could even ask or think. That He is not able to change people's hearts and make them to live godly in Christ Jesus. You're thinking that your God is so small, He can't make other people do right. Therefore, I need to do wrong so I can fit in. How wicked is that thinking? We need to live by faith. Living by faith means we're going to trust them to do for us, do and treat us in the same way that we treat others. And so we as God's people have to be unified. We cannot allow sin to hinder us from being unified. We need to have a value system that says we are lowly and we care about others and we want to help others and we are concerned for others and we're going to do what's right because we have one love. We have one mind. We have one spirit. We have the Spirit of Christ. We have the comfort of the Spirit of God in us. We have Christ's mind and we have compassion and tenderness for one another. Therefore, we are going to live in unity with God's people. This is a wonderful passage here, so full of wonderful thoughts. How rich it is. And so I commend this to your meditation this afternoon. Think about these things. Meditate on this. Consider this matter. And allow Christ to change your heart, to make you to be the people of God that we ought to be. Let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, what a blessing it's been to think about your word this day, to meditate upon it and to think after it. We pray, dear Lord, that you will encourage our hearts, that we will put away our selfish interests and our self-centeredness, that we will, Lord, repent of those wickednesses and those fears and those lacks of trust, and that, Lord, we will put our heart and mind after you, that we will be a people who are unified because of the wonderful blessings we have in Christ Jesus. Help us, dear Father, we ask. Give us a great afternoon. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you, folks, and I trust you have a great afternoon. Hope to see you again tonight at 6 o'clock. God bless.